Welcome to Creating Flow, the podcast where I, Joni Francisco, hope to empower women, helpers and healers to unblock their energy and unlock their power. We're tackling that tough reality that many in the health professions often sacrifice their well-being in the pursuit of helping others. Not only do I believe this is just plain wrong, it ends up draining their vitality and diminishing their ability to serve. I've experienced this struggle firsthand and emerged with insights and strategies to break this cycle. That's why each week we explore practical methods not only to replenish your energy, but also to cultivate abundance in your life. You'll gain actionable steps to fill your cup first, ensuring you can overflow with energy and serve others without burning out. Do you ever think that work-life balance might be BS? Do you ever feel like as soon as you get one part of your life optimized, another is struggling? On today's episode, I have special guest Dr. Stephanie Davis. Stephanie is the founder of the Thriving Mama program and podcast. With almost 2 decades of experience in functional medicine and a decade in trauma healing, she combines both to help exhausted, overwhelmed, and anxious moms transform into energetic, happy, and confident women. In the Thriving Mama program, she guides moms through her 3T method so they can go from just surviving to thriving, physically, mentally, and emotionally in motherhood. Her mission is to support all moms at any stage of their journey with the connection and support they need. Join Dr. Stephanie and I on today's episode as we explore what it really means to be a mom and work, especially as an entrepreneur, helper, and healer. How work-life balance is a myth and strategies to help you get unstuck and into flow in your life, health, and business. But first, if you like what you hear today, then I would highly suggest you joining the Abundance and Flow community on School. Not only are there free, awesome AF trainings, in there we are building a community of other helpers ready to have more abundance and flow in their lives. Let's journey together towards freedom in life, health, and business. The link, as always, will be in the show notes, and I hope to see you there. I have a special guest here today, Dr. Stephanie Davis, and we are going to jam on how being a mom and having a business, that how that affects our life and some of the things you can do to help that be a little more, have a little more flow within that. And yeah, so first getting down to business here, Stephanie, is what is some of the struggles you see in mamas, especially, you know, those that are trying to also run a business?
Yeah, I think that it's tough. It's really interesting because I had a conversation the other day with one of our mentors and coaches about that. It was Dan. And I said, I'm like, I feel like there's a special space for moms who are like us, who have a practice and we're doing stuff like this, like the podcast, and we have families versus either men who are doing the same thing because they don't have the same responsibilities, or people who have like a team where, you know, it's like a mom with a team of people around her where she has all that support. The truth of the matter is that a lot of moms are, they're solo, they're a solopreneur. And I've interviewed several and just talked to moms all the time about the struggles that, you know, just trying to balance, you know, the work side, all of the demands of work, especially if you are a solopreneur, because you wear all the hats, you know, you're the CEO, you're advertising, you know, your social media, you're the face of the practice. If you're a person who is in a health profession, you know, you're seeing the patients. Sometimes you're even the person who's doing the admin side of it. You know, so there's lots of hats that you're wearing. And then you have to also be mom and be wife and so many other hats that they wear. So it is definitely a struggle that I hear a lot about from just not only, you know, people like friends and family and other people that I encounter, you know, on a daily basis. I met a lady the other day in Whole Foods, actually. And she was giving out free samples of bars, and that was her issue. I told, she's like, what do you do? So I told her what I did, and she started crying. She's like, oh my God. She's like, I need what you're offering, because she's like, moms, we don't take care of ourselves. We prioritize ourselves last. And she's on the road all the time. She's like an entrepreneur because she's the salesperson for this company. She's the national salesperson. So she's traveling all over the country doing samples to try to get this. It's an energy bar business off the road. You know, it's get it on the map. And she was just like, she's like, I know. She's like, I'm getting divorced. She's like, my life is, it's hard. She's like, there's so many things that happen. And she's like, and I never get to take care of me. So it really is an issue.
Yeah. And just for the audience and kind of get us all on the same page, what are some of those like more issues, you know, that you're seeing? Like we say the word struggle, but what's that mean? How does that show up in their lives? How, like, what are some of the things you're seeing, you know, repetitively for moms?
I think the number one thing is self-care, not being able to incorporate self-care. And I can speak to that from my own experience too. Like, you know, I was always a person who prioritized like working out and fitness. And after I had my kids and I had the business, that was the first thing that went away. And I brought that back in last year, but I had to be super mindful of it. And that's the number one thing that I hear from, I'd say, moms across the board, but especially moms who are entrepreneurs or healers. It is that self-care aspect. It's, you know, not some moms are like, I don't even take a shower. So like, I haven't taken a shower in days. I mean, it's something as simple as that, you know, just showering, taking a minute for yourself, being able to exercise or read the book that you want to read. Or, you know, if you want to, you know, do something more extensive, like a sauna or a massage or something like that, they want to do it. They just don't have the time, or, you know, they say they don't have the time or they don't prioritize it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest keys right there is the prioritization, right? We have this idea of what it looks like to do both things differently, right? To be a business owner, to be a provider, to be a practitioner, helper, healer, however you relate to that. And then we also have this idea of what it looks like to be a mom. And not only the ideas of what it looks like to be those things, but what it looks like to be good.
Yes.
A good practitioner, a good mom, and right. A good friend, a good, you know, and I think that gets us in trouble sometimes. And I think that's where we can change our prioritization, right?
I think priorities and intention are huge. That's like when I'm working with moms, that's one of the first things that we do. We talk about intention because I was like, you know, where your intention goes, your energy flows. And so that's one of those things where if you are not intentionally prioritizing yourself, it's never going to end up in your daily flow. You know, it's you have to do it. And that's essentially what I, you know, it was funny because when I decided I was going to start working out again, that was in November and I started in January. So it took me a little while to like wrap my brain around it and make it such that it was going to be a priority again. But it was cool because after I did it, I realized I had like a major epiphany. It was like, oh, like I was telling myself the story that I didn't have any time and I was making excuses. And I was essentially just, you know, saying, you know, you're not important when I really am. And I need to be healthy and I need to be, you know, functional to be able to be there for not only my family, but myself and my patients and everyone else in the world, all the people that we, like you mentioned, all the things that we do. So yeah, it's really interesting how once you make it a priority, how easy it becomes to integrate it in your life. And then you see how like the flow continues and more like it was easy for me to start. Like that's right after that moment, I started working with Dan, who is one of our coaches, mine and Joni's. I started working with Dan at that moment because I was like, oh, I've got more space in my time and I can do this. And then I started doing more and more and more things. And that momentum kind of built on itself. So that's something that I always tell moms. I'm like, I know right now it seems daunting and it seems like you can't do it. But you really, really can. Like, it just like it's small changes in your mindset, preparing yourself for, you know, that change. And then once it happens, it's kind of like it's kind of like a magical momentum that kind of builds on itself.
Yeah. And not to dive too far into the woo, but
yeah,
time, you know, we are the creators. We are the creators of our health, our life, our time, our businesses, you know, whatever. But looking at time, we really are. And so if we put like you said, the intention and the prioritization behind it, we will become in alignment with our goals and yes. Our desires. And so things will fit into place as they should versus when we are not in alignment or not taking care of ourselves first, then everything seems chaotic and crazy because that's where our mind is. And so that I kind of want to dig a little deeper there too, when we talk about like, so what, right? So we talk about, you know, moms putting their self-care on the back burner, like, so what, right? And, but both of us being in also the health space, we know, we see what happens after years of that. Might not happen in the first 6 months. It might not happen in the first year, or it might, because you might already be in a place where you're exhausted before you become a parent, which is also very agri-pro for people in our professions. But so some things I often see is just that, like, there's just so much fatigue that they can't get out of it, right? They don't see the path forward. It doesn't seem available to them. And then they start to have symptoms, and then their body starts to break down. Because they're not getting the nutrition, they're not getting the sleep, they're not getting those things. And add on to that, that they know they should, right? Like many practitioners know they should be doing a better job. So then we're putting that should, quit shitting on yourself, right? Is like the comment I use, but they do. And so then we have the guilt and the shame. We're still not doing it. We're adding a pile of guilt and shame onto this already kind of broken cycle in adding in the comparison to what we think optimal should be, right? Are there other things that you see, like those more specific types of things that start to happen when people are breaking down?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I see almost exactly what you're seeing. I see it in practice all the time. I see it with my friends. I've gone to conferences, like some of the big, you know, functional medicine conferences, and like there will be like little pockets of women in the corners who are talking about all of this stuff. Because, you know, it ends up, you know, you get into it, you're stressed and you're overwhelmed, and then it just starts to affect so much of your, you know, your body, your nervous system's ability to regulate, you know, your resilience. You lose your resilience. And when I say resilience, I'm talking about resilience across the board, not like your immune resilience, all of your health resilience, your nervous system's resilience, and your emotional resilience. You know, one thing that I see a lot of moms, they'll talk about is they don't like the way they behave towards their kids. You know, they're like, I'm irritable and I snap and all those things. And it's because you've lost so much of that. That's largely your nervous system and your emotional resilience. And I think that is probably the number one thing that brings most of the moms that I see the most, I'd say, guilt and shame, is like how they end up behaving towards their kids and their loved ones because of how burnt out and stressed and overwhelmed they are.
Yeah, I can resonate with that. I can resemble that at some points in life.
We all do, right?
And yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I heard you say have to do, right? And I agree, we have to do self-care. But I also think that the wording in that kind of trips us up a little, right? Because if we change that a little bit to we get to, even that can flip our nervous system a little bit and make it a little easier to get into flow. So just being, you know, able to pay attention to when that's happening, so we're not making that cycle spin even faster, right? And stuck in that same little
exactly.
loop. Yeah.
I agree. I love that you reframed it too, because sometimes it's just a word or two that flips the switch and gets things going in the right direction, or like in a better direction.
Yeah. I mean, it's from the, you know, from a practitioner's perspective, it is have to, right? Like you have to, or you will break down.
Right. That's usually what we're doing.
Yeah. But from the mom's perspective, like if she can even switch that in her mind that she gets to, or that she's grateful to, or something that can help them get out of the cycle instead of thinking of it as something else they have to do, like another task they have to do in their already over mounting thing.
Exactly.
And, you know, I do, especially back when my kids were little, I did a lot of hands-on therapy still. I still do quite a bit, but a lot less than I did then. And I do mostly just myofascial release now. So it's, and with Reiki. So that is a weird change in the way I do manual therapy, because I actually feel more energetic after that than I used to when I would do manual therapy. I'd be really drained.
Yes.
I didn't really know how I was like absorbing so much, you know, other people's stuff. But one thing that would happen for me, and I would notice it, is, you know, I'd work a 10-hour day, and then I would come home and I didn't want anybody to touch me. Like, I don't even want to talk to anybody sometimes, because it's like I have been on all day, touching people, solving problems. And now I just need time on my own. And have you seen that in other people too, or is that just me?
Oh, I have. I have experienced that myself too. It's interesting because I remember right after I had my first child, my son, who's 11 now, I went back to seeing patients. And even though I was in virtual practice then, and that was 11 years ago, and I distinctly remember seeing patients even virtually, and I would be exhausted. And then I had this newborn that I had to nurse and care for. And there were moments when I felt like in my brain, I was like, I just don't want to do this. I don't want to be touched. I don't want to be poked. I don't want to be prodded. And then again, the guilt seeps in because you're like, oh, this is my baby. And then that was actually for me, one of the moments that I realized that I needed to do something, because I couldn't keep on going like that day after day. So that was actually when I first started getting into more of the energetic and healing modalities and started seeking that type of stuff out, because I knew I needed some kind of solution for, you know, me being able to continue to work and be a mom.
Yeah. And I have a similar story. You know, when my daughter was a newborn, like 3 or 4 months old, it was like one of the really lowest times in my life. Like, I was struggling to even get off the couch. I was in a place where my Hashimoto's was super flared. I was in stage 4 adrenal fatigue, and I'm like throwing organic fruit snacks, you know, at my son, like, here, eat. Cause I knew it was important that he had good food, but like, I just couldn't, when I wasn't working, I couldn't get off the couch. And, you know, and that, as well as me, like, that was kind of my like awakening too, was like, okay, I can't keep going on like this. Like, I will die. I am going to die. And had to make a lot of prioritization differences. I had to make a lot of hard decisions that were like, leave my job, find a different job that was different, find, you know, open, which was great because it led me to opening my own practice later. And now I have so much freedom to now be a coach and an intuitive healer, which I didn't even know was going to be in my stars at that time. So it's super cool. But the energetics you brought in, and I want to kind of come back to that. That's what changes our ability, right? To be able to serve at a higher level and to come home. It's one of the things. There's lots of, we need our foundations too. But once we learn that we can, you know, well, first of all, once we learn that we take on other people's stuff.
Yes.
As a mom or as a practitioner, like, that's super helpful, because then we can learn to give it back and not hold it. And something that's probably helpful for everybody listening is this idea that if you hold it, then they can't heal it. And so to me, that was like life-changing for me, because I was like, oh, well, I want them to get better, so I'm going to give it back to them wrapped in a big bubble of love, right? But I'm not going to hold it in between clients. I'm not going to hold it when I go home. And I do the same thing when I get home in my car. My kids are always laughing at me because they're like, why do you sit in your car for so long? But I do that like mental transition, right? It's like, okay, work's off, you know, most of the time, at least for a few hours. I usually go back in the evenings and do stuff, but I take a few hours, put on my other hat, like, metaphorically, but I like vision, like, giving up my hat, putting on a new one, and then you can go in, you know, with cleaner energy. And what are some of your tips that you have for that?
Similar type of stuff. I think both you and I have done a lot of training in the subconscious realm. So yeah, same idea. I do a lot of like visualization. Like you said, visualizing, putting on the hat. For me, a lot of times too, it's like when I'm absorbing things, like, and you absorb other people's thoughts too. I'm like, is this thought a thought of mine? And if it's not, I visualize it getting kicked out of my head. So that's a tip I have, definitely. Like, that's something that in the beginning when I'm working with people, I'm like, that's just become aware. When you're around other people, what are you taking in? What are you feeling? What's going on in your head? Because a lot of times it's not you, it's them. And so when you're aware of it, you can do something about it. And I love that you said, you know, you can wrap it up in a bubble and give it back as love. That's cool. Super cool. Another really good tip I got from one of my mentors, functional medicine mentors, he's just a really, really cool person. And he is a neurology specialist. And so he knows a lot about the brain and neuroscience. And he's like, before he walked into every like patient visit, he would stand outside and clear his energy and, you know, prepare the space for healing and say, I am enough. And that's what he did as he walked in the door. And after I started doing that, I felt a shift. Like I felt more, the space for healing felt like it was more present. I was more present. The energy was more present, but I wasn't taking on people's energy as much. So those are two things that I think can be very powerful when you're dealing with other people's energy.
Yeah. And I love that piece about other people's thoughts, because I mentioned earlier about the idea of the shoulds, or what, you know, a perfect person, a perfect mom, a perfect practitioner looks like. But also, if we're taking on those other thoughts, right, that might not even align with us as a person, you know, and that could be thoughts from our parents, that can be thoughts from our loved ones, that could be thoughts from our friends. And if we're able to get quiet, right, and clear that junk, then we can actually come back in touch with us, which I think is another thing that moms have really a lot of trouble with, is like being in touch with who they are, because they're not in that space a lot.
That's one of the number one things. That was like when I designed my program, that was the number one intention I had for the end point, was the moms rediscovering who they are, what they love, what brings them passion, what lights their fire, all of those things, because it's something I talk about a lot in my, you know, my work is life transitions. And that's something that we tend not to do very well as women, from the standpoint of we tend to keep on putting other people in front of ourselves instead of taking care of ourselves in those transitions. Like you go from, you know, high school to college, college to a job, you might find a husband or a partner and get, you know, married or have a long-term relationship, and that might bring in kids and sometimes, you know, job changes, a divorce. And every single time you have one of those life transitions, what I end up seeing is that we tend to lose ourselves a little bit more as we get deeper and deeper and further along. And it's a lot of the work that I do is showing moms, you know, you are important, you matter, and you can be yourself. You can be the best version of yourself and still be a great mom and be a great wife and boss, or, you know, coworker, what all the many things that we do.
Yeah, I think that's really beautiful. And I think that's one of, in studying universal law, like game changer for me too, is the word and, right? It is just like, it's an and universe. It's not either or, it's and both. And so it is available to you to find that place, right?
Yes.
We've both been very good about not talking about balance, because I know probably both of us don't really believe that happens. It's more like ebb and flow, right? Like people say work-life balance a lot, but it really is ebb and flow, I think. And that's, again, like getting good at prioritizing stuff. It's like, oh, you and I both have taken on this new endeavor of podcasting, right? And it took a little more time. It took more time than I thought it would. And, you know, and then I missed a couple track meets, and like there was just some stuff that I had to be like, okay. And I had to not let that, you know, shame and guilt or whatever come in, because I was like, okay, look, he doesn't really probably even care if I'm there most of the time. But also, it's like, it's an ebb and flow. So sometimes I get more time at home and spend with my kids, which is super important for me. And that's why I have my own business, so that I can prioritize that. But sometimes I have to spend more time working in my business also. And so it's more ebb and flow-ish.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that the term work-life balance is a myth, because in reality, life is filled with ups and downs and sideways turns and loop-de-loops and all the crazy things. So it's like, yeah, that's when I was talking about resilience before. That's the key, to have enough resilience to weather all of the storms, the ups and downs, the goods, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. And I think that I feel like as I've done more of the kind of the emotional work and the trauma work, my capacity to handle those challenges is much greater. And that's not to say that I don't, you know, lose my poop sometimes, because I still do. We all do. But it's a lot less, and I know how to bring myself back from that and bring myself out of it and change my mind. And that's really what I want for all women, because that's where, like, I see so many moms and they're struggling. You know, I'm part of a a women's entrepreneur group here that meets locally in person. And it, like, there's tears come out every single meeting because of all of these struggles. And like, we do some exercises and like some breathing techniques and some things to try to, like, you know, make everyone feel good and just give some people some tools. But at the same time, there, a lot of that work comes from within, you know, doing the inner work so that you can develop that resilience. And a lot of, like we were talking before, the subconscious, working on those subconscious programs that most of them were not, you know, they were, we'll say, gifted to us, gifted to us from our parents, you know, but like, and you had said before, you know, it's that not the things, you know, it might not be your thought that you're thinking. It might be something that was planted in you that you observed as a one-year-old that your one-year-old mind just took in and, you know, decided, you know, your subconscious put it in there and said, this is the way it's going to be, until you acknowledge that it's not and then change it.
So I think as well as the, you know, the subconscious beliefs, we like those are formed when we're little and we don't have all the information, right? But there's also this idea of where we get our worth, and you're kind of alluding to that. And something I'm starting to find in helpers and healers is actually this weird codependent behavior between, like, in their family structure, but also in client structure. Like, you know, we've been taught to produce makes us worthy. But when you're in a place of helping and healing, it looks much different. And often that is, you know, taking on more than our fair share of responsibility for that person's journey, right? And I just find it so fascinating of how that becomes a part of our worth then. And I'm still working on separating that. That's something that, like, I work on. And you were brilliantly saying earlier about the tools. And I think that's key, right? We all still have these, like, we still have challenges, no matter how much healing you do, no matter how much coaching and watching other people, like, you still have life. And the brilliant thing is to recognize that you have the tools to then catch yourself, identify it, and go back in, and then be able to create that flow and that ease and grace within your life again.
Oh, absolutely. It's interesting because I was talking to a friend earlier today, and something that we mentioned was that healing is not a destination, and it's a journey. Because, like I said to him, I was like, every single time I think I've got it or I'm there, I'm not. You know, life comes in and gives me a big slap in the face and says, "Ha ha." You know, it's like, you're not. And then I've had that happen so many times that I've realized that there's always going to be work to do. There's always going to be challenges, and we can take that as an opportunity or a gift and learn from it and keep on going on this journey. And it was funny because we got onto that topic because he and I had met probably like 10 years ago in a functional medicine group, and our paths have gone like a very similar trajectory. And like from like the functional medicine side to the healing and the trauma side, and I should say emotional healing and trauma side. And it's been a byproduct of trying to fix ourselves. You know, it's like fixing yourself and trying to find better tools to serve your patients and clients too, because that was one for me. What got me going down this road was twofold. It was realizing that I had an epiphany. It was weird. One morning I woke up and I shot straight out of bed. And I was like, the answers aren't outside you. They're going to come from within, you know, like, because I know for me, I had some I would say it was more like emotional-ish trauma in my family. And I was looking for answers. I wanted the answer to be from somebody else. And I had been stewing on that. And then apparently my subconscious decided to tell me when I woke up that the healing needed to come from within me. And so I started down that path of doing many, many things. And it was interesting because every single time I did, like, I either engaged in a modality or a therapy myself, I gained something. Or every time I learned one, you know, I've got a lot of different tools that I can draw from. But every single time it got me a little bit further. And it was cool how there was just like this amalgamation or synergy in the fact that every time I got further along on my journey, I could give more to my patients. And like you were saying, like there's that codependent relationship. And I know I recognize that in myself from before. I definitely was like, I was so invested in them getting better. And I felt like if they weren't getting better, it was a reflection of me and not them. And so I have gotten to a place where I have fully separated from that. I know that I always say I'm like the conduit. I'm a conduit, a guide, a facilitator. I am not the healer. You heal yourself. I can help you and support you and give you tools, but you do the healing yourself. So making that distinction was a big aha and big piece of the puzzle for me, being able to separate myself and not derive, like you said, that sense of self-worth. And another interesting thing that it made me think when you said that, it was that's so much the masculine, the production and the driver, and the healer side is so much more feminine. And when you're going at it in the way that you were talking about it, those are in direct conflict and those need to be more in flow with each other. You know, so you're bringing both in and out together as you need them.
Yeah. Yep. Beautiful. Flowing that energy back and forth. Yeah. And I love the, you know, it is a journey. It's not a destination. I also love how in your program, I know you do this, and in my program, we do this too, but we're teaching like acceptance where we are now and love where we are now, and we get to grow. And we get to journey and we get to have like what we desire, how we get to feel how we want to. And I kind of think of healing and life as a spiral. And every time we come upon, you know, the up level, how you were talking about, you still have places, you know, that you, oh, I finally got here. And then you did. It's true, right? But then your mind's like, oh, but look at how much other stuff's available to me. And then it's the resistance is in that round the corner again, like, cause all the same things just come right back up as you try to up level, right? And which is the beautiful part of healing and journeying through life is how that awareness happens, right? All of a sudden this bubble pops and it's like, oh, I could have that. Oh, I can have that. Oh, that is available to me. And I love that piece of, you know, acceptance where you are, but still growing. Yeah. So we've mentioned just, you know, throughout here, we've sprinkled in a lot of great nuggets and tools for people. And I just kind of want to bring those in for people, give them, you know, three or four really hot tips that they can just start doing today or places they can look for help. And so I'll let you lead that.
I would say the number one thing, like I said before, is like intention. Just take a few minutes at the beginning of the day, preferably when you're laying in bed in your first awakening, your brain's still in alpha state, your body is more like amenable to suggestion, and just sitting there and setting the tone for your day, like that can help immensely. Because like I know I actually have a practice, I do that every day, and then I get up and I will actually write out the things that I want to do. And that usually sets the tone for my day. And the days that I don't do it, I feel it. And that's not to say, I want to give the caveat of my day does not always go like I wrote it out. Let's be honest. But it does help set the tone. And I give myself grace when I don't accomplish everything that's on that list. And I will tell you, over time, I've put less and less on that list. So it's like, I put a couple of things down that I want to accomplish. If I do it, great. If I don't, it's okay. You know, I get over it. I can try again tomorrow. And I think that would be kind of point number two, is really giving yourself grace, but don't make grace an excuse. That's something that I tell, like a big thing in the program that I have with the moms, is not using grace as an excuse, and not or productive procrastination is what I call it. Like when I'm supposed to be working and I'm folding laundry instead, you know, I'm still doing something that I, should be doing. Quote unquote should be doing, but I'm not doing what, you know, the work that will, you know, bring productivity into my life. Those are a couple of big things. And then the other, you know, a lot of it is just feeling, getting into feeling your body, like feeling yourself, feeling your emotions, like feeling what's going on inside you. Because I think it's really easy in today's day and age to get distracted and like really just, you know, shove it all down inside and move on. And, you know, kind of like that saying, keep calm and carry on. No, don't keep calm and carry on. You know, feel it. If you're feeling like you need to scream into a pillow, scream. I don't know. You know what I'm saying though? It's like, if you feel like you need to scream, if you feel like you need to let out that energy, if you're feeling sad, if you're feeling frustrated, if you're really happy and joyous. I mean, feel all of those feelings, because I think we're not very in touch with our feelings anymore. And I think that's a huge place of where a lot of the problems arise, is when you're not addressing those feelings, because then all of that stuff gets stored in your body and it's going to come out one way or another. And it usually doesn't come out in a good way. So, you know, those are three things that I think are really, really important and simple. Like those are things you don't have to pay for. You know, you just have to sit there and kind of be with yourself.
Yeah. And what I hear through all of that, right, is this idea that you just make a choice. And it may sound simple, but if you, every time you can make a choice instead of I should, I have to, I need to, right, just make a choice. And it clears up a lot of energy, closes that loop. But also you get to, you know, choose yourself, but you get to do all of those, you get to do the day with intention. And so I love that piece. And I also 100 wholeheartedly agree about the emotion stuff. I'm always just like, if you can take 60 to 90 seconds when you feel that emotion, do it. It will change your life, because it will not be in there festering and stuck. And, you know, I believe that that's manifestation of physical symptoms. So any of our disease, any of our pain in our body, recurrent ankle sprains, anything like that it blows my mind, but it really is manifestation of emotions and spiritual things and limiting beliefs or double binds that are manifesting into the physicalness. So if you have any physical things, really, I encourage people to sit down and see what you're feeling underneath that.
Yeah, exactly. That's when I'm doing the actual like trauma work that I do with people. That's what we do. We go after those body feelings, because that's where everything is stored. Even like we were talking about like physical like pain or aches or things that keep recurring, even things like autoimmunity. I mean, that's like a self-hatred program, you know, that's essentially what you're saying to yourself. So a lot of this stuff is deep seated in, you know, feelings and subconscious programs.
Yeah. And it's parts of us too. I think that's important to recognize that different parts of us have this different programming, and we can, that's the beauty in it is then we can use the other parts of us to go in and love on those parts and tell ourselves a better lie. That's how I say about our subconscious work, because again, it's all, we made it up when we were little and we didn't have the tools to make up what it meant. And so if we can change it in our head, that will help us move forward. I would really add just a few simple things too. Like for me, game changer was prioritizing sleep. It wasn't something I had done in the past, but prioritizing that like just optimal as I could get sleep. And sometimes it was a lot more sleep than I would want to do. You know, it's like, oh, floors didn't get scrubbed today, but I went to bed an hour earlier. And it just makes the journey a lot better. And another thing with the emotions and with everything is even just walking. Like if you can't do anything else but go for a walk, you can create that space, right? Even if your kids are walking with you or whatever, I feel like it moves your body. So we're moving our emotions, we're moving the energy through our body. So it changes that. It gets the lymph pumping, right? Like a blood pumping too, but really when we're stagnant lymph, the stagnant lymph is really important, and it gets your mind clear. And so I feel like those are really simple things that anybody can do.
Oh yeah. Like that, just like the act of going outside, getting sunlight directly on your skin and in your eyes, like those are all simple things. Like you said, like moving, just walking outside, getting outside, sleep. They are all things that are free and things that can they can dramatically change your life.
Yeah. And you're going to feel a lot of results from that. But if you do have the availability, there are people like Dr. Stephanie and like myself that like have things. So reach out for help. I feel like that's another place that we really get stuck, is we should be able to do it all, right? And I'm sure you see that too, the clients that actually reach out for help, then there's the outside perspective. But also, I think that's one thing that is really important for that is the permission piece, right? Because if the provider says, I have to do this, now I have permission to sleep 9 hours instead of 7, right?
Right. Yeah, you're right. 100%. I mean, that's, I think, a huge piece of it, like that permission. It's like you're telling somebody it's okay, when it's sad that we need to do that because we shouldn't have to do that. But that's kind of the way we've been programmed, you know? And it's looked upon as a flaw if you're, you know, taking time to care for yourself or taking time for your mental health or all of that stuff. And that's something that I'm glad that there are people like you and I out here saying this stuff, because it shouldn't have to be permission. You should just be able, you should just feel like I need to do this for myself.
Yes, for sure. And the other thing I would just add to that is anything and everything, if you're working and a mom and all the other hats that you're wearing, and it, as the money becomes available to you, because any money can become available to you, is that you start hiring out all the things that are not in your genius, both at home and at work, as soon as you can. Like, that's my top advice, like advice for people, is as soon as you can, as long as it doesn't interrupt with your alignment, right? Like, don't hire a nanny if you want to spend more time with your kids. Hire a house cleaner, you know, like try to stay in alignment with what you really want out of life. And any last things that you would like to, that we didn't hit on yet that you wanted to mention today?
I would say it's like you kind of touched on it before. It's okay to, you know, invest in yourself. I feel like Dan again, and I had this conversation the other day. I'm like, so many people are willing to invest in their business, but as a mom, and I've seen this with moms too, they will put forth the money to invest in their business. But then when it comes to self-care or self-growth or, you know, anything in that realm, they're hesitant. And I'm always like, you know, there are, you know, you and I know that there are subconscious reasons for all of this. A lot of times we'll tell ourselves, oh, it's because of money or time or all of the many things that we say. But really, it's because, you know, maybe there's a subconscious program of unworthiness or, you know, undeserved or not, you know, you don't deserve love or to be healthy or all of the things that, you know, our subconscious mind can tell us. And I would say that you do deserve it. And I know I've been there too. I mean, I definitely have invested a lot in business coaching, but I think I'm at a point now in life where my investment in myself is more than my investment has been in like progressing my business. And I'm proud of that fact, because there was a point years ago that I was in that spot where I didn't believe I deserved it. And I didn't think that I was worthy of it. And now, you know, standing on the other side, you know, that version of self, I have a lot of compassion for that version of myself, because, you know, your identity changes. You become a very different person. And I think the more you do this stuff, the more you realize that. And so I would say to anyone who's listening that you are worthy and you are deserving and you should invest in yourself. It, you know, it doesn't have to be super expensive. I mean, it can start off. I mean, I know when I started, it was small stuff, but a lot of times as your kind of openness and your energy expands, you get the capacity, whether it's energetic, financial, all of the things, to get to do more. And it's kind of a beautiful thing when that happens. It's really kind of cool and magical, and your life transforms for the better.
And we've spoken just a tiny bit on vibration, but being able to be who we truly are in our full selves is actually much higher vibration, which will allow much higher vibrations, like you're talking about, things come to us. And I love that idea about how your container grows, right? It's like sometimes we just have to like push the edges and then the container will open up and they'll have lots of space. And that's beautiful. So that is such a beautiful way. I know you had something you wanted to share with the audience. So if you wanted, I'll let you speak to that.
Sure. Yeah. If you want to find out anything more about the program or anything that I offer, you can go to either drstephaniedavis.com, or I'm also on social media And it's the Instagram and the Facebook group are both Thrive Mama Tribe. So you can find any additional information there.
Awesome. And all those links will be in the show notes for you. And I mean, I think, Stephanie, I think you just summed up the beautiful for the ending there. And I will just add and reiterate the piece of you have, you know, permission to put your oxygen mask on first, because it really is that important. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here. Great conversation. And to all my listeners, we will catch you next week.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
So amazing. You've reached the end of another episode of Creating Flow. And I want you to know I appreciate your presence and to remind you, knowledge is powerful, but taking action is transformative. I invite you to take the next step to activate your full potential today by scheduling a complimentary 15-minute session with me. A no-obligation chat to identify the messages your body is sending you and how I can not only help you understand these messages, but teach you how to heal your body in order to have an abundance of health and energy in your life and business. Visit the link in the show notes to book a call, and I'll see you next week.